Welcome to the Bible Truth Podcast with Ron and Tim Reynolds, pastors and Bible teachers. Pastor Ron and Pastor Tim combine for more than 70 years of teaching and preaching God's Word. Listen now as they share the eternal truths of the Bible.
Hello, friends. Thank you for listening to Bible Truth for Living. This is Pastor Tim Reynolds, your host. We're in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20 today. The title of the message is Being Committed to Thanksgiving. Ephesians 5 and verse 20 says, Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'll start off with a humorous little story about Thanksgiving. One day, a devoted atheist was walking through the woods admiring the beautiful accident of evolution. And as he is looking at nature and picturing it evolving over millions of years, suddenly a big grizzly bear growled and began chasing the atheist through the woods. The bear drew closer and closer as the atheist grew weary from running, and finally, out of breath and fearing for his life that he was just about to be killed by the angry bear, the atheist cried out, "Oh God, please help me." Suddenly, everything in the woods went silent and still, and the bear hovered over the atheist in suspended animation. And the voice of God rang out in the distance. "You have spent all of your life denying my existence," God said to the atheist. "But now in your time of desperation, you want my help. But I am a gracious and forgiving God, and I will go ahead and help you." Well, the atheist replied, "I still can't bring myself to believe in you. But could you do the next best thing and make the bear a Christian?" Well, God answered, "Okay, it is done." Suddenly, everything returned to real time, and the bear, as he stood over the man, closed his paws together and looked up into heaven and said, "Oh God, thank you for this food that I am about to receive. Amen." Well, the bear ended up being thankful in that situation, even though the atheist would not recognize God. Now, that's just a humorous little story, but, you know, I have found that that most people fit in one of four categories when it comes to being thankful. You might think about these and ask yourself which one you are. The first category you could call complainers. These are people who find something to complain about in life. I mean, they'll complain about the weather. They'll complain about work. They'll complain about the price of things. They just find something to complain about all the time. That's the first category. The second category we might call consumers. These are people who consume the blessings of God without ever considering their source. They're sort of like pigs under an acorn tree. They just keep their head down and they consume things, but they never consider the source of the things and the blessings they have. The third category we might call considerators. These are people who consider the blessings of life and they recognize the blessings, but they recognize them as long as the circumstances are in their favor. They're thankful that it's a nice day. They're thankful they have money in the bank. They're thankful for their home and their family and their car and their clothes and their food. They're thankful as long as everything is working in their favor. The last category of Thanksgiving, and this is the one we're talking about today, I'm calling them committers. That is, they commit to an attitude of gratitude regardless of the circumstances of life. They are so committed to Thanksgiving that their level of thankfulness is consistent in spite of the circumstances. That is, when things are going well, they are thankful. And when things are going not so well, they are committed to being thankful. Now, the question I want to answer in this lesson today is, how can we reach that level of thanksgiving? How can we be committed to thanksgiving? Well, I think we can find three keys to that in today's text. Number one, notice the duration of our thanksgiving. In verse 20 of Ephesians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul writes, giving thanks always. Notice the duration there. He says, all the time, be thankful. Now, how do we do that? Well, number one, we do that by recognizing our benefits. You know, if you get a full-time job, one of the things that come with the job is benefits, whether that is retirement or vacation days, insurance. Those are benefits. I want you to know that God has loaded us as Christians with benefits. The Bible says in Psalm 68 and verse 19, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits." I mean, he just pours it on. He loads it. And a lot of times we fail to recognize that. I would challenge you as we close out a year here to just sit down and think of all the benefits and blessings God has given you. The fact that you can hear this teaching today means that you have your hearing. Well, you're blessed with that. Not everyone has that. Some people are deaf. Think of just the simple things in life, the food, the clothing, the roof over your head, the fact that you have heat. Listen, the fact that we live in America, as confusing and messed up as America is at times, it's still the greatest nation on earth. I would rather live here than a lot of other nations on the earth. So when you think about it, God has really loaded us with benefits, as the Bible says. And then think about this. Not only has God loaded us with the temporal blessings and benefits here on earth, but we have eternal blessings and benefits waiting for us in heaven. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." That means, beloved, that if you're saved, you have an inheritance that is already guaranteed and has your name on it in heaven. That's a benefit. And so I believe that we can be thankful people when we recognize our benefits. And then number two, when we release our burdens. You know, the Bible says to cast all of our care upon him because he cares for us. We need to release our burdens. When we go to God in prayer, prayer is not simply a one-way, begging God for something. You know, God, I need money, or God, I need better health, or fix my family problems. Prayer involves releasing our burdens, and part of that is giving thanks. We should always remember when we're asking God for something to also include thanksgiving. It's sort of like ingredients, you know. You have ingredients in something, maybe ingredients to some sort of recipe. It takes all of the ingredients, and thanksgiving is an important ingredient in our prayer and giving our burdens over to God. Here it is, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Here's what the Bible tells us in this regard. "Be careful or anxious, stressed out for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving." There's that ingredient. "Let your request be made known unto God." So you say, "Pastor, I have a request, you know, a health request." Well, go ahead and ask that, but don't forget to include thanksgiving with that request. Now, here's the result. Verse 7, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." You see, a lot of people don't have peace because all they do is they go to God in prayer and they ask and they have these needs, but they never stop and add that ingredient of thanksgiving. There's something about it. When you include thanksgiving in your request to God, God in turn gives you peace that passes understanding. That means you have a peace that the world doesn't understand. Sometimes it's a peace that even you don't understand. In the middle of your problem, you have peace and you don't even know why you have it. You have it because you have included thanksgiving in your prayers and requests to God. It works. It's a Bible principle. Well, the duration of thanksgiving is always. Let's look at now the dimensions of our thanksgiving. Back to Ephesians 5 and verse 20, "Giving thanks always," there's the duration, "for all things." There's the dimension, all things. Now, that's a pretty tall order. How do we go to God and be thankful for all things? You mean even in our trials, our troubles, our headaches, our heartaches? How do we do that? Well, I think it will involve a couple of things. Number one, we can be thankful for all things when we learn to accept God's will. Remember, God's will always trump our will, what we desire, what we want. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You say, what? I don't know what God's will is. Well, one of the things that is God's will is that we give thanks. That's what God says. Now, this is next level thanksgiving. How do you do that? How do you give thanks when you don't understand what's going on? You say, God, I don't get it. I don't understand why you're allowing this. Well, you can do that when you accept his will. You can do that when you say, I'm going to be thankful even when I don't feel like being thankful. I don't feel well. I feel discouraged and depressed and desperate, but I'm going to be thankful anyway. That's by accepting God's will even when you see no way out of the problem. You've exhausted all of the resources and opportunities and you just don't see a way out, yet you're accepting God's will. That's how you can be thankful in all things. If you remember Jesus when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he is praying to the Father and he says, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup of suffering pass from me. I don't want to have to go through the cross and the suffering and the shame that is involved. But then Jesus finished his prayer with this. He said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Beloved, we can be a thankful people for all things and in all things when we learn to accept God's will. And then, sort of along those same lines, we can learn to be thankful in all things when we learn to accept God's way. God's ways are different than our ways. The Bible says his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. God does not always operate the way we think he's going to. His will is different. His way is often different. You know, a man who seemed to have it all in the Bible was a man by the name of Job. Job was a wealthy man. Job was a man with a good family. Job was the man that people would go to for advice and for counseling. And yet in one day, Job lost everything. Lost his family, lost his wealth, lost his influence. Eventually, he would even lose his health. Lost his kids. All of his children died. And I want you to notice Job's attitude in Job chapter 1 and verse 20. The Bible tells us after these things have happened, then Job arose and rent or tore his mantle, his outer garment, and shaved his head. Now, that's what people would do in Bible times like this. It was a sign of mourning. And he fell down upon the ground and worshiped. Now, what do we do? You know, many times when we go through problems, we run away from God. Job clings to God. He worships God. It's easy to worship when things are well, things are going good. Boy, you can clap and sing and rejoice. But can you worship when things are not going so well? Well, that's what Job did. And then he makes this great comment in verse 21, Job chapter 1. He says, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. That's up to God. That's his way. Sometimes he gives, sometimes he takes away. And then Job adds this, blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, that's a difficult thing to do. It sounds so good preaching it and teaching it, but it's another thing to practice that and to live it. To say, God, I'm going to bless you when you give, and I'm going to bless when you take away. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged or blamed God foolishly. You know, his own wife, and you talk about discouraging, you lose everything, and then on top of that, your spouse tells you just to curse God and die. That's the kind of a wife Job had. The Bible says in chapter 2 and verse 9, his wife said to him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. Now listen to his response. Job says, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil, or the problems, the troubles? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. Job understood this principle. You know, it's one thing to be thankful and say, boy, God has sure given so much. God's been so good. God's blessed me. That's easy. But he says, shall we take all the good and not take the bad times that come with that? Is that when we turn our back on God and we blame God? No, that's a foolish thing. The Bible says in all this, he did not sin with his lips. Job understood the principle of accepting not only God's will, but God's way. Now, when you get to the end of the book of Job, you find that God restored unto him twice as much as he ever had before. But let me tell you something. This year, as we get ready to close out 2023 and go into a new year, 2024, we will realize that in any given year, God gives us great blessings, and then sometimes God gives us great burdens. But true committed thanksgiving involves accepting both the blessings and the burdens. That's when you know you have become a truly thankful person. Well, we've looked at the duration of thanksgiving, that is always, the dimensions of thanksgiving, that is all things, and then number three, we'll look quickly at the dynamics of thanksgiving. Back to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20. We need to see the dynamics. Who is all this thanksgiving to? Well, first of all, we're to give thanks to God the Father. Verse 20 again, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father. Now, you think of the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Give thanks to the God the Father. James chapter 1 and verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. You say, well, I thought it was from my employer. I thought it was because I work so hard or I earn my education. Well, God has allowed you to attain those things, but it's God that gave you the job. God gave you the mind to get the education, the ability to do that. Every gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. You see, beloved, God takes all things, whether they are good things or bad things in our mind. Sometimes we think they're bad at the time, and they may turn out for good. But he always works them out for his purpose. Now, that's a great verse in the Bible, Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. That's a good one to highlight in your Bible or to memorize. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. It may not feel good, it may not look good, but God always works it out for good, and we may not even see that in this lifetime. There's an old hymn that says we'll understand it better by and by. We may not understand it till we get to heaven, but God takes all things and works them to his purpose. Pastor Adrian Rogers, who is now in heaven, said this. He said, where God does not rule, God overrules. When it looks like God is not answering the prayer in the way that we want, you know, we say, God, heal my spouse, and the spouse dies anyway, or God, heal my child, and the child dies anyway. You know, David did that, prayed for his baby to be healed, and yet God allowed that baby to die. When God does not rule in our favor, that simply means that God is overruling. He has a plan. He has a purpose. We may not see it. We may not understand it. We may say, God, I don't get it. Why? But I'm going to trust you. Again, Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And so we are to give thanks to the Father. And then lastly, we are to give thanks through the Son. Now, we give thanks to God, and we do that through his Son. Why? Because it is the Son who gives us access to the Father. Listen again to Ephesians 5 and verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, oftentimes when we pray, we will close a prayer by saying, in Jesus' name, amen. Why do we do that? Here's why. Because it is the Son who gives we as sinners access to the Father. You and I cannot get to a holy God on our own merit. We can't get to God through our good works, through our giving to charity, through being good people. Religion won't even cut it, all right? None of these things get us to God. There's only one way that gives a person access to God, and that is the Son. That is why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. He is our go-between, our intercessor. Romans 8 and verse 34 says that he is risen again. He is even at the right hand of God, making intercession for us. You see, here's how it works. When we talk about prayer, when we pray, the Holy Spirit of God takes our prayer to God the Son. And then God the Son takes our prayer to God the Father. They work in tandem. They work together. And this is what Jesus is doing right now. You say, what is Jesus doing in heaven? Well, he's preparing mansions for us, the Bible says. We also know that he's looking to come back and call us up to meet him in the air. But he is also making intercession, because it is Jesus Christ alone who gives the sinner access to the Father. That's why we must be saved. We can't be saved under any other name or any other pretense or performance. It's only through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that we have access to God the Father. I'll close with this story. A man saved up for a two-week cruise. Boy, it took him a long time. He was really wanting to go on a cruise, and he saved and saved and saved. And finally, he saved up enough money to buy a ticket for his cruise. But the problem was, he didn't think he had enough money to buy food on the cruise. So he came up with an idea. He said, I need to have something that won't perish over a couple of weeks and that won't take up a lot of room. So he made a bunch of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Now, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches are pretty good, but you would get tired of that for morning and noon and night, day after day after day. But that's what he did. He got his room on the cruise, and he began to live on these peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. And he ate them day after day, and every meal was just peanut butter and jelly. And he noticed that many people would go to the big buffet line on the cruise ship and fill their plates up. And boy, he envied those people. You know, they went and they loaded up their plates with beef and chicken and mashed potatoes and green beans. And here he was eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. And finally, he got up the nerve one day to ask a gentleman who happened to be walking by him. And this man had a plate loaded down with all kinds of food. And he said, "Sir, can I ask you a question? How much does it cost just to make one trip at the buffet? That food looks so good, and I've been living on peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. I'd just like to get one plate, but I don't know if I can afford it. How much does it cost?" And the guy said, "Are you kidding me? Don't you realize that when you bought a ticket for the cruise, that the food was included in the price of the ticket?" In other words, the guy had been eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for all this time, when all along he could have been eating the finest food at the buffet, because it came with the cost of the ticket. Now, what reason did I tell you that story for? Here's the reason. I believe a lot of people have their ticket to heaven, but they aren't enjoying all the benefits that come along with it. They're living a peanut butter and jelly Christian life when they could be living on prime rib and lobster and all of the fine things, all the fine blessings. In other words, they don't realize all the good things that come with being saved. Now, the main thing is, have your ticket. You get your ticket not by calling Ticketmaster, but by praying and repenting of your sin and receiving Jesus as your Savior. But there's a lot more that comes with it than just a trip to heaven. You get all of the blessings in this life, and then, to top it off, you have the blessings of the life to come. Jesus said, "I have come to give them life, and life more abundant." That is life here. That's the blessings here on earth, but those are all temporal. We also have eternal blessings, that inheritance I spoke about earlier. And so we think of all of these things and ask yourself, am I living a peanut butter and jelly life, or am I living a life of prime rib and all the blessings that come along with it? You can know you're going to heaven, and you can have all the blessings of God that go along with it. And when you realize that, we can be committed, thankful people. We don't have to be thankful just when things are going good, but we can be thankful when things are up and when things are down. And that's being committed to Thanksgiving. Well, I hope the message was a help to us and a good reminder to be thankful in all things. As we close out the broadcast, you know, we're getting close to the end of this year, and I'd like to thank all of you who listen to us, whether that is on the radio or on the podcast. It's a real blessing to hear from folks who tell us they're listening, and it's an encouragement. But I also want to remind you that as we close out the year, this is a good opportunity for end of the year blessing to our ministry. Every bit of our ministry is just by the support of people who listen to the program, all right? Our church doesn't support this program. It's the listeners, the people who listen to the program. And if you appreciate God's word being preached, being taught week after week on the radio and on the podcast, consider that here as we close out the year to be a partner with us, maybe a one-time gift, maybe you've never given before. And you say, I want to help out the radio program. It's 100% listener supported, all right? It goes right back to the radio stations and to our podcast hosts so we can keep the Word of God going out. And if you would like to do that, you can write to us at Bible Truth for Living, 817, that is 817 Woodland Drive, Mount Vernon, Illinois, 62864. Include your best gift. If you're writing a check, you can make it to Bible Truth, and it will go directly to our radio and podcast ministry. And a gift of any size is appreciated. If you want to include a prayer request or maybe a Bible question, whatever it is, include that too. We always like to hear from our listeners, and I thank you ahead of time for considering that. We always like to close out the year with having our accounts paid, and sometimes we're even able to pay forward into the upcoming year, and keeps the ministry going and keeps us focused on preaching and teaching God's word on the radio and on the podcast. So thank you for considering that. The announcer will give that address one more time as we close out the program. Thank you so much for listening today, and I'm looking forward to being with you again next Sunday. And until that time, this is Pastor Tim Reynolds saying, may God bless you, is my prayer.
You've been listening to the Bible Truth Podcast with your host pastors, Tim and Ron Reynolds. They can be contacted on the Mount Vernon Baptist Temple Facebook page, or you may send Pastor Tim an email to timrey1@hotmail.com. Or if you prefer, mail correspondence to Bible Truth Podcast, 817 Woodland Drive, Mount Vernon, Illinois, 62864. Again, that's Bible Truth Podcast, 817 Woodland Drive, Mount Vernon, Illinois, 62864. Thank you for listening.